from Brooklyn at Roberta's Pizza, Heritage Radio Network. That's where we're located. I'm your host, Kathy Irway, and this is Let's Eat In. Before I get started, just want to let you know that New York City's Craft Beer Week is just around the corner. It's beginning this Friday, running through Sunday, October 3rd. To kick off the series, Whole Foods Market Barry is holding a beer and food pairing event in their beer room. Oscar Blues is on tap, and Chef Jacques Gauthier of Park Slope's Palo Santo is cooking up one of his South American delights to accompany. Food tasting goes from 5 to 7, and beer continues till 9. With a Craft Beer Week passport, get $3 off of any 64-ounce growler fill. So meet Chef Jacques Gauthier on Friday, enjoy some of the special tastes, and everything in the kitchen. Also, just so you know, on September 25th, the next day, here at Roberta's, we're going to have a heritage party. It's a party for this radio station. And it should be really awesome. 7 p.m. to midnight. It's all you can eat and all you can drink for $100 for a good cause, this station. And, it's going to be pretty awesome. In case you're wondering what that all you can drink is, there's going to be cocktails with Maker's Mark, and there's going to be 6-point craft ales flooding the whole place. So please come. It'll be fun. So I'm really excited to introduce my guest because he's been such a vibrant member of the food community, and everyone is just talking about his amazing artisanal and innovative breads. That would be Matt Tilden of Scratch Bread, Brooklyn.
Hi.
Hey, good. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
This is so cool. Matt hasn't been on the show before. So you guys just kind of relaunched recently.
Yep.
After getting an awesome Kickstarter campaign. The support was very enthusiastic, it seemed.
Yeah, definitely. It was extremely impressive. I was so proud of the amount of sort of encouragement it ended up, giving us, and the support is just unbelievable.
That's great.
Yeah, we have to relaunch it because, if you know anything about Kickstarter, basically, whatever you set a goal as, if you don't reach your goal, basically you don't get anything.
Yeah.
So we're making it a little bit more of a clearer message as far as what we're trying to do for the community and that type of thing. So we've got a cool thing about to launch next week.
All right.
Yeah.
Get on the mailing list for Scratch Bread.
Definitely, please.
And he's always at the Brooklyn Flea.
Yeah, on Saturdays.
Where else can we find you?
Well, we're just starting to kind of get used to our space now. We've got some pretty awesome people that have joined the team. And so we're getting back into our old clients.
Cool. So would that be like a baker team or?
Well, I don't know. I have a hard time with the term baker because, first of all, I'm not a trained baker. I just like
That's
to kind of sling delicious food. So we kind of leave it open with sort of saying that we're a food brand by allowing us to do pretty much anything.
That is great. Yeah, I noticed you're teaching ice cream classes at the Brooklyn Kitchen. I was like, what's up with that?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's one of my biggest passions to make frozen custard.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, and we had a good time. We actually used some of their, their beer making supplies, and we made a chocolate malt.
Oh,
with
cool.
Their barley malt.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Throw some bread in there.
Yeah. Well, they're somewhat all related, I guess.
Chocolate chip cookie dough.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's great. So the members of your team kind of wear all hats then, I guess. They're bakers, they're food artisans, cooks, amateurs like you?
Well, I'd say, I basically infiltrated some sort of bread program for the past 4 restaurants that I ran. But, skill is something that I can teach anybody. So it's a matter of the number one thing I look for is passion, and you gotta be a good soul to sort of work with us, because I need that fueled energy.
Mm-hmm.
What we're doing is really trying to create food that people can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
We're not trying to bring any pretension into the food world. There's enough of that, and we really just want
these are the finest,
yeah, I know.
European style.
That's right. Nobody can do it better than me. No, it's it's really just about us hanging out and rocking delicious food. Like, that's all we care about is the interaction people are gonna get. And how fun it is to actually produce food in our environment. And yeah, we definitely want people that put their hands in the food to hang out at the flea market and represent the stuff, because I feel it's important. We don't want to have a division.
Yeah.
It was always sort of a pet peeve of mine in restaurants where, the front of the staff hates the back of the house or whatever. And I don't ever really made sense to me when we're all trying to basically operate as an orchestra, and you can't really have, you know, one sort of instrument not really working in sync with the other one. So we find it works so much better when somebody comes up to the flea and they're interested about a product. We can clearly tell you exactly what it's about and what's going on and why it's actually there.
Well, that sounds fun. I think it really shows through in the stuff that you offer. There's always specialty, one-off things like leftover banana bread. And
yeah,
what
like
was
that fun
one?
Called? What, the plantain bread cake?
Yeah,
the
mole,
mole spice druso. That, yeah, that's a good time. We're
that
bringing that
crazy
back because it's more of a cold food item. So
okay.
Yeah,
cold
weather. Lots of requests, yeah.
Yeah, I know. In the summer, you can eat only so much bread.
I know.
But it's,
I know.
We're heading into the bready time of year,
I can't
think.
Wait. Yeah, I pretty much have a couple loaves of sourdough on my table at home, aging throughout the whole week.
Cool.
Fun time, yeah.
So it sounds like it's a fun environment. I kind of want to be there.
Well, come on in.
All right. Maybe
smack around some dough and, you know.
I would love to.
We pretty much are open to anybody. I've got artisans. I've got journalists, teachers. We have an ongoing sort of internal organization of interns that we really try to, whatever. Some people have voids, you know, in their lives, or some people just want to be able to get out some aggression, or most people, I think, need to work with their hands. And a lot of people
they
that
need
are working
to need.
Yeah, well, you know, most people are finding that when they put their hands into something, and bread happens to be life, so it's a little bit more intimate in that manner, but. Mm-hmm. There's some sort of fascination that people get, and it's really a comfort factor. And then they get to learn a new skill, hopefully, as well. So, which also helps. You know, we end up utilizing the labor. I love teaching, and people are getting something out of it, and we're trying to create, you know, more positive with it. So, I mean, it's really just about hanging out at a dinner table and eating, really, in the end. So,
oh, really?
Breaking some bread.
Nice.
I mean, why not, you know?
What do you guys make for staff lunches or dinners or whatever?
Breakfast. I'm not really into the mix yet of having, like, you know, full-time operating staff. It's always been me, pretty much. But once we get in that mix, it doesn't matter. Everything's fair game, you know?
Cool.
We're not really a kitchen in that manner. But I'd say there's always going to be delicious spreads around.
I can imagine.
You know, dunk some olive oil, you know, or hummus or whatever with your whatever bread you want that day. So
that's great.
Fair game, I guess.
Cool.
Yeah.
Are you thinking of doing other things other than bread for scratch bread or?
Oh yeah, definitely. There's a lot of fun ventures that, as soon as I'm comfortable enough and I have a staff that I can really kind of lean on for different elements of the brand. Then we'll really start building kind of what my vision is of this thing. But, right now I dabble in a couple of things.
Any food items you can spill?
Well, I mean, you mentioned the ice cream class and the scratch creamery is somewhere a little bit down the line, but,
nice.
You know, for making my own creme fraiche, I already do that anyways and incorporate them into the biscuits and, you know, frozen custards and that type of thing. But really sky's the limit. And The scratch gatherings are a really good asset to the brand. They're going to be fun. And it's really sort of a catering turn on its head, basically. It's like an interactive food party, basically.
The scratch gatherings?
Yeah.
I haven't
done any yet.
Okay.
I've done a couple here or there just to kind of play around with taking care of some sort of private chef events. But for the most part, it can be where a group of people want to sort of host a food party. And we're basically going to be the catalyst to make that happen where we're providing the ingredients and talented chefs to basically show up and work with you to design these products. And it's basically like an eating party. So we're all going to make things together and then we're going to basically eat them.
Oh, love it.
Thing about the gatherings that's most important to me is that when food's ready, it should be eaten. So there's no like hot boxes or holding equipment.
If
we're going to show up and rock a party, like
it's
a wedding, for example, basically it's just, it's an interactive eating party, and it can be where people can get involved, or it can be as simple as we just show up and we're cooking everything in front of you live.
Right, you can cater it to whatever.
Very rarely we'll show up with a few things prepared.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, the goal is the food should be so simple. We want to break down a lot of this sort of pretension in the industry where we literally can do everything in front of you, and we can make it so simple and absolutely delicious, and it's just a matter of having a couple products done.
Yeah, and you can do it with us too.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of other elements to it that will be decided and determined depending on the type of event. But It's a really fun thing that I've always thought about. That's sort of like the anti-catering catering party, basically.
Right, yeah. No uniforms. Yeah. You blend in. Exactly. That sounds great. And you go to their house, right?
Or anywhere. Wherever. Yeah, that's the point.
That's great.
Plus, we host them in the shop, too. Once I get the shop really set up and, you know, I've pretty much built the shop by hand. All the tables are wooden and butcher block tables, and my father flew out to help me build them. And I mean, everything's really rustic, but
that's great.
But professional, and I'd love to be able to host those parties there, as well as teaching in the space as well. Lots of other things. So.
Well, I'm totally into it. Where is the shop again?
It's actually in Bed-Stuy right now, mm-hmm. Bedford and Lexington. And it's not really open to the public yet. Mm-hmm. We have to do this fundraiser to actually get it open, because I really want to offer wholesale prices we have this really cool walk-up window on the side.
Okay.
So the actual shop is basically taken over with just workspace, and that's why it's the food workshop. But there is a great little walk-up window in the back where I've got a lot of my ovens, and we can pretty much sling some pretty cool things. Mm-hmm. I've sort of debuted a toast menu at the last Farm City Fair. I'll be doing that a little bit more at like outdoor events. And the toast menu is really kind of a fun, interactive sort of way of, you know, like $2 to $3 bites of food that are just so delicious, and everything's done from scratch, obviously.
Right. So it's like a smorgasbord. You could just put layers of stuff on toast.
Yeah. Whatever. And it all depends on what it is. Whatever. Like we collaborated with Salvatore, Brooklyn Ricotta, and we took our chai sticky buns, and just slathered a little bit of that on there with some fresh orange zest in front of people, to, you know, pickling some hot peppers from BK Farmyards and buying some speck. Unfortunately, I don't have a pig farm yet, but basically doing like some, you know, aioli
on the
country.
Well, you could get it from Heritage Foods. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of places.
But, you know, the country parma loaf with a little aioli schmear and some speck and some pickled hot peppers. Like, just, you know, finger food, basically. But
it's endless.
Yeah, exactly. You can pretty much do anything with a quote-unquote toast menu.
Anything on toast.
That's right.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right, so what's the Kickstarter campaign address, Scratchbread? You just go on Kickstarter and search for Scratchbread.
Well, definitely you can go on Kickstarter and look at our old campaign, which was mm-hmm. called It's Our Right to Deliciousness campaign. That's what mm-hmm. it was called. And I'm going to come up with a different name this time, sort of a round two, but you'll easily be able to find it. And more importantly, it's really an interactive campaign. We learned that very much so the first round. So what we need is people to be a part of, whether it's Facebook or Twitter. As much as I don't really, you know, I have a hard time doing those myself, I have people help me out with those. Even just signing up for our email address, we're going to be able to keep you in the loop and let you know, like, how we're doing, what's going on, if we've got events. We're really going to make this a funner campaign, really get people involved this time. And we're going to try to set up an event at Brooklyn Kitchen Labs, maybe. Trying to figure mm-hmm. out a couple of the finer details with that stuff, but
okay.
If you go to Kickstarter, you'll be able to find it.
Excitement in the works.
Yeah.
All right. You must be a very busy person right now.
It's nonstop. All right. You know what, though? I've never been happier, and I absolutely love what I do. It's unbelievable. I almost killed myself the first, you know, few months when I was doing it, like 130 hours, 7 days a week, but I wouldn't change it for the world. And it's been so amazing, so.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations on making it this awesomely far.
It's fun.
So you picked out a song, and this is some chill out music. Do you like to listen to it when you work or cook?
Yeah, I have very eclectic taste. I used to be a professional singer, so I dabble
All right.
a little bit of everything. So
let's hit that record and we'll be right back.
Say word, love is a new feathers on my breast. Gentle devotion shakes me, makes me light. Feathers on my breast. Teardrop on the fire. Feathers on my
we're back on Let's Eat In. I'm your host, Kathy Arway. Today's show brought to you by Craft Beer Week. Check out New York City's Craft Beer Week. This is Heritage Radio Network at Roberta's Pizza. Today's guest is Matt Tilden of Scratch Bread. Hey. Thanks so much. Your story is really inspiring, and I'm so excited for all the things you have coming up.
Thank you very much. I always have to say this, that I really have absolutely nothing without the people that support us. And that's the most important thing for me. Every day I show up, that's why I'm doing it.
So, nice. Yeah. Cool. How about pizza breads? Is that something that... No? I don't know. Pizza is such a craze, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't necessarily know if it's my motif. I think I've been approached by somebody that's got a really cool concept for something, and they want me to sort of do a different style of a tortilla that I'm thinking about. And I love rice flour a lot, and they've got this Asian concept that they're going to do. So...
Buns, steam buns.
Yeah. Somewhere on the line. I'm not much of a traditionalist. I like turning things on their heads a little bit.
Oh, I hear you.
Any ideas are always sort of welcomed, but I've got... my next biggest project is designing something for, which I've already designed, I just need to kind of bring it back, is the sandwich bread for porchetta. I created something that was just off the wall, and...
Nice.
I just need to be able to, maintain it and perfect it a little bit better. But
okay.
It's got some roasted corn flour from Anson Mills and some more Italian blended flour. And it's sort of on the ciabatta style of a bread, but it's absolutely incredible with her pork. So
okay.
Yeah, specifically designing products for chefs is a lot of fun for me.
That is cool.
Yeah.
And for events and special things.
Yeah. Yeah, it keeps creative juices flowing, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I was a chef for about almost 12 years, so... It's kind of one of those things, like, I used to change my menu almost twice a week. So, it keeps me on my toes a little bit. Same with the staff, so.
Cool.
Yeah.
Can I run an idea by you then? I'm working on something I'm going to serve with my friend Noah and make for the Pig Island thing at Governor's Island.
Noah from Island?
Yeah. Okay. And we were going to do chasu buns.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, we wanted to do it with, like, maybe a fresh corn salsa. And we were thinking of doing it, putting inside those steam buns, but now we're thinking, actually, let's go the whole mile and put it in, make our own masa and do tortillas. So I can't decide steam bun or tortilla. Or you got the hoisin and you got the chasu and you got corn salsa, roasted Mexican style. I don't know.
I think it could go
either way.
Yeah, you really could. It depends on how you want it to be eaten. That's the way I always look at it.
I know. Maybe people are going to be so full at this event. I'm thinking the tortilla. Yeah.
What else is going on? Oh, that's that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. That's a serious event right
there.
A lot of eating going on down there.
I've done a lot of steam buns in my time, too, so maybe it's time to move on. We'll see. So, okay, I'm going to ask some, questions on what do you like to cook at home when you're just do you ever have time to do
I
that?
Don't when I have a confession. One of my favorite things I like cooking for a girl for the first time or whatever is fresh gnocchi. It's probably one of my favorite things to make. 100%.
I bet that would get a nice response too.
Occasionally, yes. That's the goal.
Do you do potato or flour?
Straight up, like hard cooked potato and
egg flour.
No egg.
Okay. Ricotta?
It's all technique. Ricotta? Nope. It's just flour and potato. A little bit of nutmeg, salt and pepper.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it fluffs up. You fluff it in the ricer and mix it with flour. And
It's really on the hands, but the main thing is, after you par cook them in water, basically sauteing them. And if you do the technique right, they're basically going to almost souffle in the pan, and you've got this crispy, fluffy, just ridiculous morsel. It's awesome.
Cool. So you boil them, then cool them in water.
Yep. Ice bath, yeah. And then just a little bit of olive oil and butter and some fresh herbs when it's coming out.
That is a great idea.
It's so incredible.
Wow. Your techniques are really, really interesting.
That's one of my favorite things about food is like the shortbread, for example. I don't know if you've ever had the shortbread. It's literally all about technique. I mean, you're just talking about a few ingredients here, but everybody makes shortbread. And and my whole point was, I wanted something so incredibly luscious, but just done different. And it's just technique. It's just a certain amount of mixing technique that you can kind of incorporate.
And you just try, trial and perfect. you know.
Yeah, a lot of times it's think, and keep thinking, and then eventually try it a couple of times and you'll figure it out. Like the V-bar, for example. I thought about that thing for almost 2 months because it's like, to me, it's the perfect, you know, gluten-free vegan item. And it's very interactive when you take a bite. And it's designed to not really have any ties towards vegan gluten-free items because there's perceptions out there of things. And I always want the perceived value to be what it looks like and how it tastes as opposed to anything else. So we don't really label it. We have to tell people because
people are
going to
be asking,
but for the most part we just tell people it's this incredible tamarind currant, you know, dried chili, black pepper, you know, sort of like chutney, if you will, inside. And
that
then
it's cool.
The dough's got toasted hazelnuts, oats, melted white chocolate, and rice flour. And the way it comes together, it's very difficult to make, but it's so incredible. It's like creamy and crunchy and slightly spicy. It's salty. It's not so sweet. It's really great.
That is really
neat.
It's
a lot of fun. Yeah.
So do you find something like, you know, the opportunity to make something like vegan or gluten-free a fun creative challenge rather than a hindrance?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a big inspiration for me to create products that aren't dull and have a label on them. I always, when I did my menus, when I was cooking in restaurants, where I made a point to make a vegan dish just as good, if not to battle a steak dish or a pork dish or whatever, because I just don't like labels. I don't think they make any sense, and I think they provide a perceived value on
meat.
Something. Vegetarian, vegan, you know,
pasta,
it's like
seafood.
Yeah, it to me, it's just make it delicious. That's it. And make somebody that's going to eat it just totally, you know, incredibly happy that they took a bite of that. So
cool.
Yeah.
Are you a vegetarian? No.
I like everything.
Everything.
I've dabbled in, you know, being a vegetarian for a while and then going raw for a little bit. When I was at the top of my health gain, and riding my bike 300 miles a week, and I lost like 130 pounds. Dabbling a lot of that, but mainly fresh juice really is inspiring to me.
Oh.
Fresh vegetable juice and fruit
juice.
Do you
have a juicer?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
it completely
like
changed my life. I mean,
really?
It's unbelievable. I never felt healthier, and the flavor combinations, it increased my ability to taste things as well. My palate got better, and I incorporated it in my food. I did this amazing squash blossom dish with like a fresh shot of carrot juice, and it was just these like chickpea encrusted squash blossoms with this fresh ricotta that we made.
Chickpea
this was back in it was fresh chickpeas, a little bit of chickpea flour, but it was, you know, like a little bit of baking soda to give it some oomph. But if you cook the chickpeas a certain way, you can crush them by hand, so you're gonna get that texture, and they look really like, you know, rustic and gnarly. A lot of fun.
Wow,
super delicious.
Shot of carrot juice. I gotta get one of these things.
Oh, so amazing.
So that keeps you going.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I was that healthy at that time, like, I just felt unstoppable. It was amazing. So I'm trying to get back into that now.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you're unstoppable. So
no, I don't know about that. I realized I'm human actually when, you know, I definitely had a hard time after about, I think it was 8 months, when I was literally about 8 months nonstop, 130 hours a week, 7 days. And I finally, for the first time, got convinced that I'm human. I felt stupid. I wasn't sleeping enough. I couldn't have a conversation with my girlfriend at the time. It was ridiculous. And then I realized that
you're not a robot.
Yeah, yeah. And I had to find a balance of some sort.
Yeah, yeah. But, well, good thing, you know, cooking and food is so vital to life. You can't avoid that human aspect of it when
absolutely.
You work.
Yeah.
As opposed to like Wall Street or something so detached from needs.
Totally. Yeah.
Basic needs. So.
But at the same time, it can be so simple though, you know. I used to always tell my cooks, you know, like when we're going into a heavy, heavy Saturday night or something, it's like, you know, just relax. Like, all we're doing is cooking dinner for people. You know, I mean, that's it. They're just gathered around our dinner table tonight, and we just happen to have 300 people coming to the door, but that's all right. We're all prepared, you know. And I really try to make everything very simple with this brand. You know, I like to have fun with it, but simplicity is the key.
Very cool. And you were a cook in what city again?
Well, I just did a little stint out in Cape Cod, running a pretty big resort out there. But aside from that, I mean, I've done my time in Brooklyn and Manhattan a little bit. Yeah.
So and how long have you been doing scratch bread now?
We're going on 16, 17 months or something like that. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Can't wait for that pop up or that window.
Yeah, the window's gonna be fun.
Bread will be thrown out into the streets of Bed-Stuy.
Yes,
the most amazing downpour of bread.
Well, and wholesale prices. That's the point of the walk up window.
Oh, okay.
It's a give back to the community, basically. You know, I don't find businesses these days are created for community building. Mm-hmm. They're built around the bottom line, and I'm totally anti bottom line principles when it comes to business. And it's very difficult to do that unless you have a full like circle of, you know, really mathematic sort of formulations on mm-hmm. how you pull it off. And it's relying upon certain forms of labor and how you sort of work through that tier. And then it's, you know, it's a matter of your products and how you're creating them. But the Toast menu helps as well. And it's fun. It's $1, $2, $3 or whatever. But I really want that window because it's in Bed-Stuy. I want everybody to be able to come up and buy a loaf of bread. You know, I don't want just people commuting from whatever to
for
get
the
it.
Artisanal bread.
Yeah, I want some kid to sit down because their mom walked by that night and they've never had anything but white bread to sit mm-hmm. at the dinner table that evening with whatever it is that they're eating and rip into this loaf that's crusty and sour. And like I designed the Stuyvesant sour based off the area.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, I want some young kid to rip into it and have this ridiculous amount of textures and flavors going on, and when he's chewing it, be like, what the hell is going on in my mouth right now? Like, I've never tasted anything like this.
It's and sour.
Yeah, well, and then hopefully that'll influence a lot of other things. And I think bread is one of the most modest superpowers there is, and it's four ingredients of life. It's really simple.
I think you should write a book next about bread.
You know, I've always wanted to write a book.
You gotta
but
do it.
I think my first book is going to be about the trials and tribulations
of starting a business
from scratch. Yeah, because I threw myself under a bus.
First rule: get the name of your company tattooed on your arm.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't recommend that, but yeah, for somebody that tries to be incognito, it's
there is a tattoo of scratch bread on Matt's arm.
Yes, it's quite large too. My brother's wife put it on there, but you know, this is about a lifestyle for me. Yeah. And this, every time I look at this, this helps me and it encourages me to be a better person and to strive for building community and doing the best that I can to be an asset to other people's lives. And this tattoo on my arm, it's not designed to be some, you know, principle or marketing thing. It's really just to convince me that I'm so in love with what I'm doing and I just want to be better and better at it. But you know, I mean, it is a labor of love.
It's a commitment.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
And, best of luck. And I can't wait to check out your bakery or
thanks.
Whatever it is. Workshop.
Food workshop.
Yeah.
Bakeries have
soon.
Cupcakes and
I'll
cookies.
Have to bring some of my, stuff from the garden.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Please.
Next time.
Awesome.
All right. So that's about all the time we have. I'd like to thank Jack Inslee, Nat Wiener, and everybody at Roberta's and Heritage Network, Radio Network, that is. I'll see you next week.